seems to be pretty consistent. I've been coming to community church 2012, 10, 11, 13, somewhere.
Back before the flood. And one of the things that has been consistent is that every time I come, there are people here that I don't ever remember seeing or knowing or meeting. And that's a great thing. This church, I started to take a video clip. I was going to just send it home and just show the folks just the excitement that I feel every time I come to Jefferson, and just excited to be here. Your pastor, his precious wife, are, I don't want to use the word unique from the perspective of like there's nobody else like them, but there's really nobody else like them. They're really kind of unique. I don't know, maybe God just broke the mold when they were born. I don't know. I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm saying that in a good way. Pastor and sweet wife, they have the vision. Every time I'm around them, I'm inspired by their vision, except when they start talking about Steelers. I'm glad to see a Browns jersey here today. I think that's a Browns jersey, isn't it, back there? Don't you have a Browns jersey on? Oh.
I didn't see the patch in the corner.
I wore my Browns sweater on Friday night. I told my wife, I said, I've just got to wear it just because I know how much Pastor likes the Steelers. My nephew, he and I have had quite a little text going back and forth over the years, because he's an avid Steelers. And I said, well, you know, I said, I really want to see Roethlisberger go out strong, because he's been really, really good. However, come next season, I hit the default button. Hey, what are we doing talking about the Steelers? This is we're in a house of God here today. God, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. But anyways, it is really good to be here, and I really do believe the Lord spoke to me 2 weeks ago in our service back in Canton as Pastor Foster was preaching. The Lord spoke to me and gave me a very specific message. And I've not preached it. I thought I knew where I was going to preach it. But even last night as I was praying and seeking God, I felt so directed that I'm supposed to preach this here this morning. So I wonder if we can just stand one more time. I want to read starting from Genesis chapter 12. And again, if this is the first time you've attended Pentecostal Community Church, I would appeal to you to please don't base this church on me. Please come back when pastors is preaching. You won't regret that. Genesis 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and curse thee. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, And in these shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now I want to read one more verse, and earlier this week as I was studying and praying even about coming here, the Lord quickened this verse to me. I've never seen it the way I did this time. Acts 7 and verse 17. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. The title of my message this morning is Regardless of Your Circumstances, Pursue Your Promise. I think this dovetails right in with what my wife shared. Regardless of your circumstances, pursue your promise. Father, into your hands we commend our spirit today to be used as your oracle. We honor you, we love you, we magnify your great and holy name. Lord, you and you alone know who is here today. You and you alone know the chaos and the confusion that is permeating in the minds of people in this sanctuary this morning or maybe watching online. And Lord, I'm asking you that you will allow us to be a clear voice, a clear oracle today on your behalf and for your purpose and your will. And Lord, I pray that each of us would be intentional and be very careful about how we respond today to your word and to your will. If there's someone in here today that needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Lord, you can fill them today before this service is over. If there's someone that needs to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, Lord, they can be baptized today. Lord, you're the deliverer. You're the healer, and we are not going to put limits on what you would want to do in this sanctuary. In Jesus' name. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit, saith the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you, and you may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. Regardless of the circumstances, pursue your promise. There is so much that's been said about this current pandemic in both extremes. In my soon-to-be, I know I only look 40, but in my soon-to-be 70 years of life, I personally can't remember anything that compares quite like this. The fact that this pandemic has spread over 148 different countries and has literally paralyzed the entire world, it's almost hard to believe it's possible. As I've said the last time I believe I stood in this pulpit, there's one thing that is certain, however. The church has been awakened to the reality, these are the last days. We're not looking for the last days. We are living in the last days. One of the greatest challenges we face as a church right now is staying mission focused. The enemy of our soul is doing everything possible to keep us distracted. Our ability to be real-time participants in these extremely trying days will be directly contingent upon our spiritual readiness. One of the reasons I believe that God has instructed your pastor to open a Purpose Institute campus here in Jefferson is, in fact, to keep this church and to enable this church to become spiritually ready for whatever the days may come. We think sometimes we just need to be spiritually ready for the coming of the Lord. But the reality is we need to be spiritually ready for whatever may take place in our lives. Because again, let me remind you, as the Lord gave me this title, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of your circumstances, pursue your promise. Now, we'll never be ready, however, if we've lost focus and taken our spiritual eyes off of the promises of God. Our mission will always be designed by God to fulfill His promise and His purpose. Did you get that? We'll say it again. Our mission, whatever mission God has designed for your life and for this local church, will always be designed by God to be fulfilled in His promise and His purpose. We must never forget who we are and the many promises that we have been given as disciples of Christ. Amen. Have you ever considered the magnitude of the promises that God gave to Abraham? I mean, really, have you ever stopped to think about the magnitude of those promises? So often we read the biblical accounts and forget they were real people with real lives, with real feelings. At this point in Abraham's life, there is no real record that he had any long-term relationship with God. There isn't. There's no written word to qualify that he was truly hearing from God. He didn't have a pastor or spiritual mentor that he could bounce things off of. We know his father, Terah, was an idolater. And so there was real no spiritual voice in his life to influence his decisions toward God. In fact, history says his father was an idol maker. So let me just say this to you. You know, I've often said all of us could make a case for dysfunction if we wanted to. Please don't take that offensive. I'm talking about myself included. And I also understand that more and more and more of us now, as time goes on, really do come from very dysfunctional backgrounds with no real spiritual voice that brought us up, that really put values into us. And if we're not careful, we'll use our past as excuses for why we can't live for God, do the will of God, make right choices, do what's good and what's right. Well, can I tell you, today is a day to bury the excuses. if there was ever a person that could justify not following God, Abraham or Abram was that person. Brought up his entire life in idolatry. There's no telling, Pastor, how many children sacrifices or human sacrifices that he saw over his lifetime made to idols. The Ur of the Chaldees was the center, the core of idolatry and wickedness. That's the reason God called him out of there. I want to tell you something. Don't think for a moment that you can just continue to live in your filth and not be affected by it. I'm going to take it even stronger. There are some times when you've got to separate yourself from your family. Not because you want to, but because if you allow their influence to infiltrate your children, your grandchildren, your family, there's got to be something in us that rises up and says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Yet, with all of this dysfunction and with all of the idolatrous principles that Abram was raised up with, yet Abraham chose him and called him out and gave him promises that would position him to impact the world throughout the ages. Wrap your brain around that. He was called to fulfill a mission that would be extremely difficult, in fact, impossible by human reasoning, human mind, human ability. It's hard to grasp it, to even understand it. Quite frankly, what God was calling him to do was not humanly possible. However, Abram was challenged the same way that you and I are. I don't know of one example in the Scripture where God ever laid out a plan in a direction where he was sending those he called that he did not direct them toward promise. Never did they ever stay in their same location, their same situation, their same condition. And again, I want to emphasize, God spoke to Abram in the Ur of the Chaldees. He was 75 years old, and he says, get out of here. Leave your family, leave your kindred, and simply go to a place that I'll show you. He didn't even know where he was going. And I didn't have this in my notes, but I'll just throw this in. It won't cost you a dime. You follow Abram's life. He goes... If I'm not mistaken, if my memory serves me correctly, it was about 600 miles from the Ur of the Chaldees to Canaan. The Bible says he went to a place called Haran or Haran, however you want to pronounce it. Quite frankly, it was almost smack dab in the middle between where he was, and where he was supposed to be. Right in the middle. I actually preached a message. I have a message I've preached it for a while, called the halfway place of Haran. You're not where you were, That's a good thing. But you're still 300 miles away from where you're supposed to be. That's not a long way when we think in terms of automobiles, but when you're going camel, take you a while. And so there he sat, but it was also said he took his father with him. You know what had to happen in Haran before God could move him past Haran? His dad had to die. He sat right there for 5 years in Haran until his father died. And when his father died, God moved him on and then said, walk the land, look as far as you can see in any direction, it's yours. He didn't fulfill the completion of that promise or even the word of that promise until Abram completely obeyed. Because the fact, and I get it why he took him. In that day, that was, you know, the hierarchy system and the patriarch system, father ruled in the family until he died. I get that. I understand why he felt obligated to his dad. But God wasn't going to honor it because his dad was an idolater. And he was not going to put blessing on Abraham as long as he was connected to that wickedness. You got to understand something. Your relationship and your new birth and your relationship with God is bigger than anything else in your life. We have been born again. What's that mean? We're in the family. We're not in the world anymore. We're in the church. And there's nothing more important than my relationship with God. Now, I don't even know why I'm saying this, Pastor. I love my family. One of the greatest revelations in my life was when I came to an understanding that I wasn't a bad son because I didn't think my parents did everything right. And I had to tell my stepdad one day. I said, sir, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I want you to understand something. If I followed your example and your influence, I would not be living for God today and neither would our children. And some of you, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. I have no idea who I'm talking to. You're struggling right now over that very issue. There are people in our church that have lost out with God because they wouldn't heed a warning 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and they stayed connected, and it cost them their children, and it cost them their own souls. And anybody that would not want to encourage you to be the best you could be in God, how much love do they have for you anyways? I've had very close friends out of the church, but never one time did they ever try to get me to walk from God. I don't know why. I just felt I had to share those things. God simply spoke to him promises and that he would keep them if he would make right choices. And you and I are faced with the same challenges. I want us to review just for a moment the promises God gave to him. I will make you a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. In you or because of you, all families of the earth shall be blessed. Wrap your brain around that. because of you, every family in the earth is going to be blessed. He's saying that to a person that had no real upbringing or relationship with God. So put yourself in Abraham's shoes for a moment. How can anyone grasp that? How do you wrap your brain around that? My point, there's no way Abram could have understood the magnitude of God's promises or how many of them could have ever become a reality. I heard a statement that Pastor Nick Strange made over 20 years ago. I may have even shared it with you here at some point. Here's what he said. Anyone can count the seeds in one apple. However, only God can count the apples in one seed. Hear me, please. God's promises to Abraham were not automatic. And they weren't without great adversity and challenge. The only way those promises were going to come to pass was totally dependent. Sorry, I lost my place here. The only way those promises were going to come to pass was totally dependent upon Abraham and his ability to make right choices and to continue to pursue his promises regardless of the circumstances that he would face. Did he know where he was going? No. Did he know what he was going to face in the journey? No. Did he know the ultimate price he would have to make 42 years after walking with God? No. 1,000 times no. But I tell you what he did know. He was pursuing the promises that God gave to him and would not allow his past to hold him back. Even though God called him to do what we know and understand today, was an incredible sacrifice. To Abraham, it wasn't sacrifice. He refused to call it sacrifice. To him, it was worship. Why? Because his focus was beyond what was going to take place in a moment or an event. He was pursuing promise. He was pursuing promise. Here's why I know this. I want you to listen to what he told those who were with him before he made his 3-day journey up a mountain to offer Isaac on an altar. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He didn't say, we're going to go make sacrifice. He didn't say, oh, me. He said, no, we're going to worship. We're going to worship. And I'll tell you, I've said it before, I'll say it again. You'll never worship without some level of sacrifice. Regardless, however, of what his pursuit of the promise would require him, Abraham simply saw his sacrifice and his step of faith as an extension of his worship to God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. If I say obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he journeyed in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was pursuing something beyond his past life. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. That's a mild way of saying a 90-year-old woman got pregnant. Just saying. And was delivered of a child when she was past age. Yeah, I think so. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. You understand? Don't be shocked if some of the promises that God has given you in your seasons of prayer and fasting, times in those God moments, the things that he said to you were impossible. In fact, I'll take it a step further. I'm sure I've said this here before. If your vision doesn't need a miracle to bring it to pass, it's not God anyways.
No flesh is ever going to glory in his presence. What God's going to do here in Northeast Ohio through Pentecostal Community Church, if you don't need a miracle to make it happen, it isn't God anyways.
But regardless of what the checkbook looks like, your circumstance look like, the situations look like, regardless of pandemics or crisis, pursue the promise. I'm glad three of you got that. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength, conceived seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sands which is by the seashore innumerable. Verse 13, these all died in faith, they didn't see everything that was in the promise. Because our problem is, we get a word from God and we take that so personal. And we think that it's just about us. We forget that we're connected to a body. We forget that we raise up children. We have others that are part of us and are connected to us that are all a part of that promise. I'm telling you, we have children. We have grandchildren. It's fun now. I'm watching God use our grandchildren now in significant ways. It excites me. And you know what? The best, if God tarries, the Lord doesn't come back first. The majority of what God, the greater things that God will do through them, I probably won't be around to see it. But it was all part of a promise. By my pursuit of his promise, it's not just blessing me, but it's setting up the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. This is not just about you. Look at verse 17 and 18. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19, watch this. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham walked up that mountain, totally expecting to offer that son on an altar. Why? His pursuit was promise. He absolutely believed with all of his heart that even if he had killed him, God would raise him up because he was the promised son. Yes, he was the promised son, but the son was not the promise. The promise is what you and I have today when God filled us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that all families of the earth would be blessed. Because Abraham was pursuing promise, he was convinced without question the son that he was going to sacrifice on the altar was in fact the very flesh and blood that God promised to him was going to flow through him, and there will be not another son. He believed with every fiber in him God would raise up Isaac because the promise had to, hear me, flow through him. You get that? It was a flow through him. What did Jesus say? Out of your belly shall what? Flow rivers of living water. Don't you understand that God has called every one of us to allow that Holy Ghost flow to not just become stagnant in us, but flow alive so that others, whoever you touch, whether it be family or outside of your personal family, they are recipients of the promise. I want to read from Paul's account. I want to read Paul's account of Abraham's life to the church at Rome, Romans 4, 13 through 16. We're going to read through 25, but I'm going to start 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, made it, faith is void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end promise might be sure. Watch this. To who? To all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. If you have been born again of water and spirit, you are a son and a daughter of Abraham. You know what that means? That means those promises have been handed down to you. Look at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope, this is crazy, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And watch this. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, we think of the term stagger. We you stagger, you stagger, you slip, you stagger. I remember reading that and I thought, oh, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Because Abraham was not the perfect creature. I mean, lying to protect his own self, was going to give his wife to a king, that's not the nicest guy in the world. Now, my point that I'm trying to make here is that that never made sense to me. What do you mean? He didn't stagger. Of course he staggered. Paul, you must have written something wrong here. You must not have understood. So I began to look into that word stagger a little bit closer than I had in the past, and found out that that's not my idea of what staggering was, is not exactly what it was. The word staggered there means to separate from a hostile spirit, to separate from, to oppose. In other words, that word stagger that Paul used, the Greek, actually meant Paul or Abraham never opposed God's promise. He never fought at God. He never got hostile in his attitude toward God. He didn't fold his arms and say, forget it, I'm out of here, I'm checking out of this. You can have this thing called whatever. I'm done with all of this. He never took that position. He made mistakes, yes. He had his weak moments, yes. He didn't do everything right over that span of time. Again, you take from Genesis chapter 12 to Genesis chapter 22, where he went up on the mountain to offer Isaac. 42 years. 42 years. And in those 42 years, he didn't do everything right. But he never positioned himself to be in opposition with God, to get hostile toward God, to oppose God. There was always in him a desire to pursue the promise. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Let me tell you something. In your weak moments, don't walk from God. If you've fallen, get back up and move forward. Don't allow your past to determine your future. Watch this now, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Look at verse 23. This is so awesome. Now it was written for, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Paul's writing to the church. This is 2,000 years later. And what happened there in Abraham's relationship with God wasn't just for Abraham. It was for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Hear me, please. It's so tempting to be consumed and be focused on our own current reality more than the promises of God. Life, as well as the enemy of our soul, will continue to do everything it possibly can to discourage and to distract us from the promises that God made to us. And if you're not careful, you'll reach a place of comfortability. You know, the building's getting pretty full now. Pretty comfortable. Things are going okay. And if you're not careful, that can be as much a deterrent toward the promises of God than even something wicked, unclean, or something targeted against you. I am convinced that probably the greatest challenge we are facing in our world today is a challenge of comfort and convenience, which is why this last 2 years has been so challenging. Because it has upset our comfort. And sickness is real. I'm a two-time survivor. I know. It's real. I'm not making mockery. But this is not the first generation that's had to deal with sickness or pandemics. And I've often thought, how in the world would the first century church have dealt with this? We don't know, but we do know that the greatest revival that occurred in the first century was done under extreme persecution. We know that. So regardless of what our circumstance may be, pursue the promise. If you're going through hardship, pursue the promise. If you're going through family turmoil, pursue the promise. If you're really, really comfortable and life is good, pursue the promise. And I would just say this to you in the fear of God today. Pursue your promise, not your past. Your past or even your current challenges or failures will keep you both spiritually blind and, if possible, bitter. So much so that your bitterness will consume you. You just got quiet on me. But I want to tell you, if you'll pursue promise, you'll be better. I don't know about you, but I would rather be better than bitter. And I am bringing this to a close here today. God is a visionary, and He's progressive. And He's always moving His church forward toward promise. I tell you, in the fear of God, when we pursue His promises, God always shows up. You will get what you pursue. That statement can be challenged. But I tell you today in the fear of God, you will get what you pursue. If it's in the will of God. If it's in line with His promise. You may not get that lakefront property. You may not get that Mercedes or that Jaguar, or I'm not talking about that type of stuff. But I'm talking about the promises that God has aligned for your life. Pursue them. Pursue them. And yes, there will be seasons in the will of God. And you need to hear this. He will lead us into the wilderness. He will lead us into the wilderness. But we choose how we come out based on our attitude and the decisions we make while we're in there. Sometimes He'll lead us to the edge of a Red Sea and then remind us of the rod of authority that He put in our hand and expects us to use it. Sometimes He'll walk us up a mountain to lay on the altar that which is nearest and dearest to us. But can I remind us, the ram in the thicket was only there because He never stopped pursuing the promise, regardless of what it would cost Him. I know as surely as I know my name, there are people in this sanctuary this morning, or maybe watching online, who are totally overwhelmed by your past and what you don't see God doing. You continually ask Him why. And it's consumed you to the point you've stopped pursuing God. You've become content with survival and mere existence. After all, God doesn't need me. And what could I really do for Him anyways? And Bishop, preached a nice sermon today, but you don't understand my situation. Wish I had a dollar for every time somebody told me that. You're right. I don't understand your situation. And quite frankly, I don't need to. But I did, in the fear of God today, need to tell you that God's promises are still in front of you. But you also need to understand that they will never become a reality through doubt or through unbelief. God responds to faith. And those who choose to pursue Him, regardless of what the circumstances may bring, if they will pursue the promise in faith, God will show up. COVID can't stop the church. Persecution can't stop the church. Only the church can stop the church. The church is destined for promise and for purpose to those who will pursue His promise and His purpose. Watch this. I guess that was my first closing. This is my second closing. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Did you just read that the way I read that? All things? All things? My famous question, what does all exclude? Now let's make sure we know what this verse says and what it doesn't say. It doesn't say all things are good. It says all things work for good. But it is conditional. It's to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Ellis paraphrase. It's conditional upon those who show their love toward God based on how they pursue God's purpose and promise. The Apostle Paul goes on to say to the church some of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Let me add one, or pandemics. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Stand with me, would you? In preparing for this message a few days ago, I was reading Stephen's message that he preached to the high priest just before he was stoned to death. And as I was reading this verse, it stood out to me in a way I'd never seen it before. Acts 7 and verse 17. And when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham. Watch this statement. The people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Did you catch that? Abraham's dead now. Israel is now in Egypt. 400 years they spent there in slavery and in bondage. It was not the easiest time. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people, God's people, grew and multiplied. Where were they at? In Egypt. Not in Canaan. I tell you today, in the fear of God, this church has destiny written all over it. There's promises that God has made that Pastor probably hasn't even shared with you because you'd think he was crazy. But I'm telling you, regardless of how difficult things may look, regardless of what your circumstances may be, and I believe I'm speaking prophetically right now, pursue the promise. Pursue the promise. Why don't we, in one heart of unity, why don't we flood this altar right now? Why don't we lift our hands toward heaven? Why don't we make a fresh commitment? God, I'm going to pursue your promise. Forgive me, Lord God, that I have allowed myself to become so cavalier or to become so consumed in myself and my own desire for comfort, my own desire for wanting things my way. Forgive me, Lord. Put a fresh set of eyes in me. Let a new heart be birthed in me. God, help me begin to make right decisions. Lord, I can't do a thing about my past. I can't do a thing about the dilemma of my past, the dysfunction that I've had to deal with, the mistakes that I've made. I can't do anything about them, Lord. But Lord, today I stand here fresh with a fresh commitment to pursue you at levels I've never pursued you before. I want the Word of God to become first priority in my life. I want the will of God to become what I desire more than anything else. In the name of Jesus, come on. Come on, thank you for stretching your hands. Thank you for opening your voice. Come on, and maybe you're a leader in the house and you know people that need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They've never received the promise yet themselves. Lord God, why don't you right now make yourself to them? Lay your hands upon them. And believe God's going to fill them with the Holy Ghost today. In Jesus' name. Come on, you know where you're at today. Regardless of what you're dealing with. Regardless of what the doctors have said. Regardless of what the circumstances and the challenges may be. Regardless if it's human. Regardless if it's demonic. Pursue the promise. Pursue the promise. In the name of Jesus.
Just to be with you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, open your voice. Call out to Him. Call out to Him.
To worship You, I live. To worship You, I live. I live to worship You. To worship You, I live. To worship You, I live. I live to worship.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak deliverance in this house right now. I come against every addiction. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We worship You, Lord. Oh, come on, I want you to just keep praising Him for a few more minutes this morning. Would you give God everything that you've got right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, would you trust Him today like you've never trusted Him before? Oh, that His promise would be fulfilled in your life and you pursue it through everything. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, how great.
I want to ask you a quick question, and then we can finish up. You can pray as long as you want. When the bishop was finishing his message, the Lord really stirred my spirit with something. I want to ask you real quick, if you have a cell phone, would you raise your hand? I put your hands down. If you have a Bible here today, would you raise your hand? All right. Listen, years ago, I had a young lady said to me, she said, I couldn't live without my phone. She's backslidden in the world today, not pursuing her promise. If you don't have a Bible, you need to get a Bible. If you don't know how to read the Bible, then talk to somebody beside you and ask them to help you learn how to read your Bible. Ask them to give you a Bible study. You can come to us. We'll get you set up with a Bible study. But the Word of God's got to become the most important thing in your life. And you say, well, I got a Bible on my phone. That doesn't qualify. I've got one on my phone too. But the Bible should stand all by itself. It shouldn't be shared with all the other apps on your phone. You need a Bible. Listen, we've been given a reminder today that we have a promise. But how we pursue that promise is of the utmost importance. Cherish the Word of God. Embrace the Word of God. Apply the Word of God into your life. If you need a Bible study, raise your hand right now. We'll get you a Bible study. I need someone over here to write some names down for me real quick. Keep your hand up. Brother Jerry's going to write your name down. I know some of you have been through one. Maybe you want a refresher. That's all right. There's one hand. There was a hand right here. Right here, Sister Pam. And then there was one back there. Where'd he go? Raise your hand up. You still want? And there, okay, we got you guys, Nick. All right. We'll be talking to you, Barb. We'll be talking to you this week. And we'll get you in a Bible study. But we want you to pursue God's promise in your life. And as was said today, brokenness is not God's promise. Addiction is not God's promise. But oh, God has so much more than what you've ever begun to imagine just yet. Why don't you lift your hands and give Him praise and thank God for what He has in store for you today. And receive it from Him this morning. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
You are my God, how great you are, how great.